sermon today is called Look Into My Eyes. You know, the beauty in a woman is not found in the size of her waist, or for a man in the size of his arms. It's what is found in the gaze between the two. It's almost unexplainable when this happens. You know, when a man and a woman see each other, and they look into each other's eyes, when the woman looks back at the man, it's hard to explain what happens when the right woman looks at him, because it's almost like he wants to become, she makes him, in that gaze, she makes him want to become a better man. Everything that he is about, when he looks at her, he wants to change, okay? When the right woman looks. It's odd, you know, when I met my wife, it was First Union at the time, and so we went in, and we'd come, it was on the third floor in the mailroom area, and we would come, and I'd walk around, and I'd always look in this one area where this girl was, and she was always smiling. She was always happy. And every time I saw her, she didn't ever really see me look at her, but every time I saw her, it made me feel better. And then when I got the chance to go into her area and we started reconfiguring things, she noticed me, and I didn't even notice it. But there was a time when our eyes looked at each other, and I knew. I mean, I just knew. There was nothing else that I wanted in that life but her. And it's almost inexplainable because it's not two people that are compatible. It's not two people that look like they belong together. It's just something that happens. So I want to ask you something. How do you think God sees us when He looks down at us? And what do you think changes when we start to begin to see who Jesus really is? When we start thinking about church and we start thinking about right and wrong and what I'm doing and what you're doing and all this stuff. But when we set all that stuff aside, we come to a place where we really see Jesus for who He is. It's like that woman looking back at you and you see something. You see that. Okay? It changes everything. It changes everything about us. But that's the way God, when He looks down at us, God is looking at us and He sees us. He sees through us the way that that woman saw through us. And then when we look at Him, we see something back that we want to change who we are because of what He's done for us. It's no more games. It's no more playing church. It's no more dealing with the Bible like it's just a book. Something changes when you see Jesus for who He really is. But you know, when we look around this world, we see such a difference in almost all aspects of manner of life. And the world tells us there's a difference. The world tells us that these differences are what make us strong. This is not so. Could you imagine if we allowed dogs to become into our culture and we started acting like the dogs? And so here I am this morning. And y'all realize, they think, oh my gosh, Calvin's got to go to the bathroom. And so here I am, I'm walking around this morning, and I'm, you know how dogs do. And like, come on, Calvin, it is time to start. Will you just hurry up? Took my dog out before I left this morning. Forever. Done the same thing, same place. The dog always goes to the bathroom. Same song and dance. He's got to look around. He's got to sniff. That's not going to make us stronger. If that's the kind of stuff that we allowed into our culture, that's not going to make us stronger. But the world tells us that the differences is what makes us stronger. That's not true. Divisions do not make things stronger. It only makes things weaker. You know the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had of the statue, and you had the head of gold and the breastplate of silver, and it got down to where you had iron and clay, was iron legs into the feet of clay. Do you know that iron and clay will not mix together? It's very weak. It's not going to be good for anything, not for that, for what the gold and the silver would be for. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." That doesn't happen overnight. But the world tells us that we can bring all these things into our life, into the church, and it will make us stronger. Not happening. It's not going to happen. Because this place is God's place. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about where we learn to examine our life, make changes in our life. This is His place. We come to Him looking for instruction, not coming to Him telling Him what we want. That's a very hard place to be, because that's a mature place to be, because we want many things. We went over a prayer list this morning where we talked about things that we wanted to happen, right? And the prayer list has been long and the prayer list has been short. And we've talked about people and we've talked about things that we want to happen. But the problem here in Corinthians, when Paul starts off talking about this, is what was going on is people were bringing their lives into the church. And it was causing a big mess. Luke 15:11-16. "Then he said, a certain man," this was Jesus reading, telling a parable, "a certain man had two sons." Verse 12, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them. He divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions on prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And verse 16 tells us he had come to a place where he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods that swine ate, and no one gave him anything. This is where his desires brought him. This is where he said, 'You give me the ability and the means because I deserve it, and I'm going to go do what I want to do, and I'm going to bring it into the church, and I'm going to make all these changes, and I'm going to do this.'" Okay? He said, "I'm going to do this, and this is what I want." And this is where the end result was. He wanted, bless you, he wanted to eat the stuff that pigs ate. That's a pretty bad place to be, considering prior to that, he was all excited and happy about what he wanted to do. You see, what took this young man away was his own desires. It was his own purpose. And I have a point to all this. I should, anyway. Yet we think that bringing individual purposes into the church will strengthen and cause us to grow closer together. I believe that there can be some differences in congregations, different areas. I mean, my heavens, we sit in seats. Most churches have pews. And at one time, we had pews on this side and chairs on this side. Y'all probably don't know this. That's why everybody sits on this side, because they didn't want to sit in the pews. Yeah, see, I didn't even know that. So when we got the chairs, most people, and that's why most people sit on this side, because it was just habit, because there used to be pews on this side. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those pews didn't have much cushion. Anyway, I believe that there could be some differences in the congregation, but the basic fundamental reason of why we come is to worship Christ. I mean, that's why we're here this morning. And the bottom line is that when we bring what we want in our life and we bring it in here, it's going to screw things up, because we've come to worship God, and we've got to leave all that down in its prospective place. Because it is difficult to live a life for God when you're trying to live your life for yourself. And we all have dreams, and we all have desires, and we all have wants. But when God says that this is the time that we come worship Him, then this is what we do. And this is what our mind is focused on, and this is what we're here for. You see, when this man's desire ended in corruption, he began to see a difference between his desire and the will of God for his life and all of his people. See, I would have to say that back up here, when he went to his father and he said, "Give me my portion of what's due me," he didn't think that he was probably going against the will of God. He probably didn't think that he was going to go out and get himself in trouble. He probably thought he wasn't going to do anything wrong. But yet, he ended up at a place where he could see a difference between what he wanted and it didn't achieve a desirable effect in the end. Isn't that right? He came to a place where he was given the ability to go do what he wanted. So I tell you this morning that we will give you the ability to go do what you want to do this morning. And I'm just kidding, but I'm saying that if you had the ability this morning to go do what you wanted to do, what you really wanted to do, where do you think it would end up? You might think that starting off it would bring you great pleasure, but it's only going to end this way. That's why God put this parable in here. Because he put this parable in here for the church to read. I know that when he spoke to the Jew at this time, I know what this was talking about, but we're not Jews. We're reading this after the fact. I'll show you what I mean. Luke 15, 17 through 19. Because there's a way when we read this parable, we only saw one thing, and I want you to see something that we haven't seen before. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He says, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Wow, what was the change? I mean, this guy was all excited about having his money, go doing his thing, and then when his thing didn't work out, and he came back to his father, he come back to him with something called humility. That's a tough word. But look at what extremes God will allow to happen in your life for this humility to take effect. Because nothing changed in this man until nothing changed in this man until this man would not listen and he could not see until he opened his eyes and he looked around at his own life. Nothing changed in this man. Because see, we like to think that we're humble people. But how many of us have this mindset of humility? "Lord, I come before your table and I'll be glad to do anything for you. But just don't make me do anything for them. I'll do anything for you, but don't make me do anything for them." You see, that's how you know where you're at. This guy started to look around at his life, and it wasn't until he did that and realized that he was the fool. He probably thought his father, with him going about the day-to-day business, feeding the animals and taking care of the wife and playing with the kids and doing all these things that seemed mundane, he probably thought he was the fool. But he wasn't the fool. And God allowed this to come into this man's life to this degree because the only thing that would help him to see the difference between his will and God's will was for him to come to this place. And God will let that happen. But it doesn't mean that we'll turn around and see it because, see, we were like, you know, "I'm uncomfortable. I don't like this. I don't have anything to eat. I'm starving to death. I'll just go back to my dad and I'll get this. And when I get this, once I've had my fill, I'll try it again." But see, this man didn't come back to try it again. He came to a mindset before he came that he wasn't worth what his father would give him. Job was that way. Job was able to go through all that he did because he truly believed that what happened to him, he deserved. Do you think you deserve those things? Probably not. You see, if we are bringing our will into the church, it means in our life outside Sunday morning, you know, the other 6 days, our will is winning. God's losing. And God allowed this man to win so much that he couldn't stand it anymore. He had won so... No, that's not what happened. See, God allowed all this to happen so that that guy could see where he really was. And in Corinthians, when Paul told them, he says, be of the same mindset. These people were bringing their life into the church. They were trying to mirror things in the church that they wanted in their own life. And so when this happened, Paul was rebuking this because how much do we bring in of our life into the church? How much do we bring in of who we are, who we were, into the church. And when this happened, this showed that who was winning that fight? 6 days in the world and 1 hour at church. And God is trying to wake us up to get us to see things. But we only focus on the one that left. Right? We only focus on the one that left. There was another one. There was someone that was there that didn't leave. See, we can all see how the other guy messed up. We can all see how the other guy made a mistake. But you think that the one that was left behind, look at this. Luke 15, 25 through 32 says, "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near the house, he heard music and dancing." And so he called one of the servants and he asked, and he says, "What's going on?" Verse 27, he said to him, "Your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." Wow, his brother had come back. You would have thought that would have made him happy. But look what happened. Verse 28, he says, "But he was angry. He wouldn't go in." I won't do it. Won't do it. "Therefore his father came out." His father even came out to him and he pleaded with him. Verse 29, "So he answered and said to his father," he says, "These many years I've been serving you and I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." You never knew that the son that stayed held a grudge against his father that way, did you? You would have thought that the son that stayed and was doing all these things, that he was just as happy as could be and he was the better one because he didn't leave. But look at his heart. He hated his father because he gave part of his wealth to his son, and his son went off and did what he wanted to do. And he held that against his father. Why does he care what his brother did? That's not what he cared about. He wanted to do it too. And he was mad that he couldn't do it, because he didn't want his father to know what he was really like. See, the other boy, he showed his true colors early and took off. You're either going to show your true colors to God or you're going to hide them. But one way or another, remember, he's going to see them. 30. "But as soon as this son of yours came," see, not my brother, but your son, "who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." See, he was saying, God has rules, God has restrictions, God has things that we should follow. Aye, he does. But you can't follow him either. He was mad at something that he couldn't even do because he wanted it. The other one did it. Both of them were before God. One came back to his senses and one was mad at his father because his brother came back. Verse 31, "And he said to him, son, you were always with me and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost, and he is found." This should have been a time of rejoicing for everyone, but it wasn't. You know why? Because one said to God, "I'm going to do my will." And the other one said, "I'm going to do your will." But then he went off, and all he wanted to do was do his will. And God even asked the question later. He says, "Which is better?" For one to say, the one told him to go out into the field, and one says, "I'm not going." But then later, he changed his mind and he went out into the field. And the other one says, "Father, I'll go. I'll go wherever you tell me to go." But you know what happened? He didn't go. He was a crowd pleaser. He was a people pleaser. That's what he wanted. Because he won. Didn't want the other one to know, didn't want the father to know what he was really like. He was lying to himself. We can't have that. We can't have that in the church. We can't have that with individuals sitting here today. You see, you would have thought that the other brother understood. You would have thought that he was the better one. Everybody focuses on the one that left, but nobody focused or even thinks about the one that left that was left behind. It wasn't left behind. I mean, he stayed. But see, when God looks into our eyes, he sees which brother we are, doesn't he? Were we the brother that was going to leave and we had to be brought to humility before we made a change? Or were we the brother that was going to lie to him, lie to our dad, and lie to ourselves about who we really are? But I'll tell you this. Look into his eyes today and admit to yourself which one you are. Because I tell you, I was the sneaky one. I was the one that would have stayed behind. I don't have to share that with you, but we should be able to be honest with one another, right? I was the liar. I was the one that would deceive my father. Not anymore. That's who I would have been. I would have been the one that nobody would have noticed. I would have been the one that everybody thought would have been okay. But I'd have stabbed you in the back if I had a chance. That's where I come from. I want y'all to do something. No big deal. I used to hate when my preacher would do weird stuff. I don't make y'all stand up and hold hands with everybody, cross the aisles and all that stuff. I used to hate that, but I understand why he did it. This isn't for our benefit. This is going to be for yours. Everybody take one of these. And during the week, think about the one thing that you struggle with the most. I don't care what it is. Whatever it is that you struggle with the most, write it down. But don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to God. Be honest, because you're not going to put your name on here. Write it with your left hand so nobody can tell you're writing, you know? I don't know. I know we're all scared that somebody might find out who we were or what we're doing, but there's a purpose behind this. And then next Sunday, when everybody comes in, when we come through the door, there's going to be a sheet, and we're going to all drop them in there. We'll shake them around real good. Everybody, I'll pass it around. Everybody can shake them around if you don't think I shake it around enough. And then before we leave service next Sunday, Lord willing, everybody will take a card, and you will see a sin that is hampering one of your brothers. You can pray for them. You don't know who it is, but you can know, rest assured, that there is somebody here that this is the one thing they need prayer for in their life more than anything. But it'll only be effective if you're honest with what you write on this piece of paper. Because I'm going to take one too. So anyway, everybody take one. Think about it during the week. Bring it back next Sunday. If you don't want to do it, it's up to you. But this is only to help each one of us. Write down the one thing that you think that would keep you from God today. I know what mine is. I'm going to write it down. We will pray for one another because we love one another. Because we don't know which brother we really are until we admit it to ourselves. And this is one step that we can do that. Because that brother that didn't leave, he probably thought that he was okay, until he was confronted with the anger that he had towards his own brother. So I encourage you to write it down. Thank you. Oh, they already got him. Okay. I encourage you to write it down. And that's what we'll do next week. But until next week comes, you have to ask yourself, do I think I need to make a change today, and am I willing to do it? Because see, these people right here, one of them made a change, didn't he? One of them left. One of them made a change, right? One of them didn't. But if you know today that you're willing to make a change, now's your time. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And when that happens, you know what that means? You're going to be in the fight of your life. God is going to give you the ability to fight the devil for your own soul, but you have to be involved in the battle. Without Him, There is no battle. The Bible says that you are held captive by the devil to do his will. So enjoy. That guy, I'm sure he had a great amount of fun till that money ran out. I'm sure he loved life until he found himself eating with the pigs. I don't know how this is going to turn out here, but we had a little problem with the music a minute ago, but what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation, The Old Rugged Cross?